And from Montreal, that was Chetam Shena from their CD Best of Chetam Shena and a song called Ivana Kupala. Вітаю вас, всі шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос», яка передається із чудового Ванкуверського острову. Говорить Павліна Макуарі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Ми маємо чудову українську музику і також дуже цікаві новини на сьогоднішній програмі. Hello there, and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette Demchuk-Macquarie, your host, Pokrinska in Ukrainian, that's Pavlina, and I am so glad to have you with me on this program. Whether you're listening on AM, FM, shortwave, online or in-flight, or to the podcast, a very warm welcome to you. Vitayu. We have a great program lined up for you. Sylvia Pidraziuk-Molnar of Vancouver will be by with a Ukrainian food flair, and she'll have a recipe for dill mayonnaise. Vasil Pavlovsky will be by with Cultural Capsule. He'll be talking about Ivana Kupala, which for the Ukrainian impaired is a summer solstice vacation, also wrapped up with a religious holiday and kind of a lot of things to different people. As well, in the second half of our program, we'll be joined by Roman Breton of Radio Journal in Edmonton, and he'll be telling us all about the 120th anniversary celebrations, and that's 120 years of Ukrainian settlement in Canada. As well, we'll have news from Ukraine, courtesy Keith Perron, a proverb of the week, other items of interest, and plenty of great Ukrainian music. And coming up next on that Ivana Kupala theme is Alexis Kochan from Winnipeg, from her CD called Tsarivna, and this is a throwback to the ancient times and the original observance of Ivana Kupala, which was a fertility ritual. And here she is now with Na Ivana Kupala.
Radiocast.ca – це наша адреса в інтернеті. Українська радіопрограма з Ванкувера «Четверта хвиля».
Ukrainian programming – the fourth wave from the Burnaby Mountain.
Ми виходимо на хвилі 91 FM в Ванкувері. Також ловіть наш потік через вебсайт cjsf.ca.
Find a taste of Ukraine and the warmth of home at Prairie Cottage Pierogies in Langley. Judy and Tanya serve up old-fashioned prairie hospitality, along with mouth-watering authentic Ukrainian favorites. Pierogies, cabbage rolls, borscht, and more, straight from their very own kitchen. Open for breakfast and lunch Monday through Saturday from 8 till 6. Dine in or take your tasty treasures home, fresh or frozen. Enjoy home-style pierogies and much more at Prairie Cottage Pierogies, 20771 Langley Bypass in Langley.
Thank you. місто за шум.
Учинився, гей! Що комарик тайному зіоженився? Що комарик тайному зіоженився? Взяв собі жінку невеличку, гей! Що не вмієш ти прясне чоловічку? Що не вмієш ти прясне чоловічку? Що ти прясне ні варити, гей, що не вміє з комариком добре жити, що не вміє з комариком добре жити. Полетів же комар, чисте поле, гей, чисте є поле в зелену діброву, чисте є поле в зелену діброву. Вже комар на дубочку, гей, звісно свої ніженьки по листочку, звісно свої ніженьки по листочку. Не взялася шура-бура, гей, вона ж того комарика з дуба здула, вона ж того комарика з дуба здула.
And from Edmonton, that was Kalabai from their CD Kalamika Casualties, and Komarek, a song about a mosquito and a fly getting married. A little bit of an unlikely match there in the insect world, and I think there are a few parallels there to the human world as well in that song about a mosquito's wedding. Again, that was Kalabai from Edmonton and Komarek. Well, coming up next, another Edmonton group, and we're going to be doing quite a bit of music from Alberta, because we've got content about Alberta, we've got contributors from Alberta, a festival coming up on the weekend in Alberta, so we might as well have music from Alberta as well. And between the Ivana Kupala theme and Alberta, we've got quite a a bit of great music for you. And coming up next is a group from Edmonton called Verchovena. This is a youth choir that went on an anniversary tour in 1999 to Brazil. And they recorded a CD of wonderful songs. And here is one of the tracks from that CD. It is called Oi Marichko Chicheri. Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. There's nothing like homemade mayonnaise, but I think Hellmann's commercial mayonnaise is wonderful too. Many Ukrainian dishes are prepared with mayonnaise. Fish, eggs, and salad are dishes of a few examples. Here's a great recipe for dill mayonnaise that you'll find very useful for many dishes. So get your pens ready. You'll need the following for this easy and delicious recipe for blender dill mayonnaise. 1.5 cups mayonnaise, preferably homemade, but Hellmann's is outstanding. 1 cup chopped dill. 1 clove garlic, finely minced, 2 tablespoons capers, drained, 2 tablespoons fresh lemon juice, 2 tablespoons sour cream, And all you do is process all the ingredients in a food processor until well blended for about 4 seconds. This makes 2 cups. I like this mayonnaise on the side with appetizer miniature chicken or salmon croquettes or cocktail meatballs. Try it. You'll love it.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
It's the 38th annual Ukrainian Pesenka Festival in Beggarville, Alberta, July 1st to 3rd. Enjoy traditional bread baking, folk art display, the sights and sounds of Yarmarok, Putt for Cancer, mini kids activities, and 3 grandstand shows featuring Vasily Papadyuk. Evenings of Bavas, workshops with Jeff Nortonson and the team from So You Think You Can Dance Canada, Ivana Kupala, Chaika and Violin Workshop, and so much more. Children 12 and under are free, so bring the entire family to Ukrainian Pesenka Festival in partnership with Travel Alberta. For more information, visit PesenkaFestival.com or call 780-632-2777.
You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Ukrainian News Outlook.
In this special edition, we look into whether Ukraine will be ready for Euro 2012. I'm Keith Parent. Many football fans in Europe are asking, will Ukraine be ready for Euro 2012? Ukraine is jointly hosting the European Football Championship with Poland, which kicks off in 12 months' time. And there has been no shortage of reports of unfinished stadiums. UEFA, the European Football Association, appears to be particularly worried about Ukraine's lack of progress. But whatever the state of the infrastructure is, there is no lack of fan spirit in Ukraine, as Mareka Arden found out when she visited 2 Ukrainian host cities, Lviv in the west of the country and the capital, Kiev.
Ever more cars are lining up at the border crossing between the Polish town of Hrebin and Rawa-Ruska in Ukraine. Most of the drivers who want to enter Ukraine have gotten out of their cars to have a smoke. They know they will have to wait several hours to cross. During the European Football Championship 2012, lots of football fans will pass here to get from one host country to the other. However, more staff, a joint control by Polish and Ukrainians, and additional lanes specifically for fans will speed the process up next year, ensures Igor Matvichuk, deputy director at the Ukrainian side of the checkpoint.
Generally, the whole procedure will be much easier during the Euro than it is today. And we've also been taking English lessons for 6 months now. 30% of the Ukrainian border staff has already reached quite a good level of communication skills in English. And we'll change our uniforms to a less military style. Then the European guests will feel more comfortable with us.
For those fans crossing into Ukraine from Poland, the city of Lviv, 60 kilometers behind the border, will be the first Ukrainian host city they will visit. On the outskirts of the city is the construction site of the stadium that last year made Lviv infamous in the world of European football. So serious were the delays that UEFA was even considering dismissing Lviv as host city altogether. But the government made every effort to avoid international disgrace and is now allocating huge sums of its generally tight state budget to change course, above all in Lviv. Alexander Mikhailovich, the director of the construction site.
The pressure on us was high, and there are still people who are very pessimistic and think we won't finish in time. But at the moment, 65% of the stadium and the surrounding infrastructure are complete, and I'm sure we'll be done in time. We are responding to any improvement requests UEFA has. In fact, they have a representative on the construction site day and night.
If the infrastructure will be in place, then Lviv certainly stands a good chance to become the darling of fans and visitors during the Euro. It boasts a rich European history and a UNESCO heritage-listed historical center with cobbled streets and lots of cafes and fountains. It could well steal the show from the Ukrainian capital Kiev, 500 kilometers further east. Even though that is where the final will take place on the 1st of July 2012. In Kiev, the rebuilding of the Olympic Stadium is also far from finished.
There are always so many skeptics, here and in Poland. But I can assure you, we'll make it.
Says professional boxer and heavyweight champion Vitali Klitschko, a Ukrainian native, while sitting in his office in one of Kiev's modern skyscrapers. Behind him on the shelf, several footballs with the Euro emblem are lying. As one of Ukraine's most famous citizens, he's an ambassador for the tournament. He sees it as a chance to polish his country's reputation, which so far is mainly infamous for sex trafficking and for being one of the poorest and most corrupt countries in Europe.
The Euro has the power to change Ukraine. The tournament will come and go, but the new infrastructure will stay. The new airports, roads, hotels. The Euro will also be like a business card to Ukraine and all its citizens. We want to show ourselves to the world. We are Europeans. With all our history and culture, we are a European country.
And as a boxer living and working between Ukraine and Germany, he knows which two teams he wants to see in the final played in his beloved Kiev.
The German team and the Ukrainian team. That's what I'm dreaming of. Who knows? It's not impossible.
Nichts ist unmöglich.
And with that report from Mareka Arden, we've come to the end of this edition of Ukrainian News Outlook. If you wish to subscribe to this program in iTunes, just go to www.pcjmedia.com/nash-holos and you'll find a link. I'm Keith Perron.
Hello, I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Holos. I am certain that for anyone listening who lives in the Northern Hemisphere, there is one thing you've all taken notice of. The days had clearly been getting longer up until June 21st, 1716, Coordinated Universal Time. This brief moment, known as the summer solstice, has been an important part of many different cultures of the world and predates many formal religions, though in the Christian faith, this date often coincides with the day of St. John the Baptist. And like many other traditional celebrations, be they of nature or fertility, they became amalgamated into the locales which had adopted the Christian faith. This was no different in Ukraine, though they were not met without resistance by neither clerics or secular leaders. In fact, in 1719, Hetman Ivan Skoropadsky issued a decree categorically forbidding the celebration, while the Soviets used the traditional holiday to devise what to this day in Ukraine is called Den Mologi, the Day of Youth, and falls on the last Sunday in June. Before the collapse of the Soviet Union, what else could it be called but the Day of Soviet Youth? After my first personal experience of the holiday on the River Prut in Kolomia in 1990, I attended many other celebrations in Ukraine, some in Kyiv, on its outskirts, and often with different groups of friends. Each of these entailed some of their own vestiges of the ancient traditions, which included jumping over fires, the floating of woven wreaths by young women, bathing, or skinny dipping, as some would call it, as well as games of frivolity and the singing of songs full of sexual connotation. From my personal experience, all was done in good taste, and for the most part, unless you could adeptly read between the lines of some of those traditional songs, you would never understand the sexual connotation. As many of those traditions were being rejuvenated during the early 1990s in Ukraine, they are also being celebrated as part of rejuvenation in many centers of the world where Ukrainians have settled. The movement of our Earth around the sun is something that will continue, and may the traditions which are associated with the summer solstice bring joy into the lives of not only Ukrainians, but all of us fine people on the face of this planet. I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this week's cultural capsule for Nash Holos featured the traditional holiday of Ivana Kupala.
And back to the Kupala theme, that was a song called Nahorodji Koreto, and it was performed by a group called Zolotí Kľúči, that means golden keys, and it is a trio consisting of Nina Matvienko, Maria Mikolajczyk, and Valentina Kowalska. And incidentally, Nina Matvienko happens to be in Canada right about now, and she is on that Ukraine train that is retracing the steps, or the tracks rather, of the original Ukrainian pioneers that arrived in Canada 120 years ago for the first time. Again, that was Zolotí Kľúči with Nahorodji Koreto.
The year 1891 marked the beginning of a mass wave of immigration to Canada of Ukrainians and other East Europeans. This year marks the 120th anniversary of that historic year, and one that certainly deserves to be celebrated. On the line with me now to talk about that is my radio colleague, Roman Bertin, host of Edmonton's popular Radio Journal program. And Roman is also the chair of the National 120th Anniversary Commemoration Committee. Welcome, Roman. Thanks for coming on to Nash Holos.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Now, we're well into the year already, and I understand that the celebrations actually were kicked off in Alberta.
Yes, that's right. Actually, we're into the calendar year, but we're just beginning our celebration year. When we set out to look at the celebration of 120 years of Ukrainians in Canada, historically, it was in the late spring that we saw the arrival of the first immigrants. And in fact, it wasn't until 1892 that we saw, you know, the first settlements actually beginning to take shape. So to us, the celebratory year starting Victoria Day and going until approximately Victoria Day of 2012 made a lot of sense.
Ah.
And so that's why our year's kind of just begun. So we've got a full year ahead of us.
Oh, great. So we're not on Ukrainian time. We're on time for once.
Exactly.
That's great. Now, you said Victoria Day. So tell us how the year started.
Well, we had a special celebration at the Ukrainian Cultural Heritage Village, which is an historic site just outside the city of Edmonton here. It's actually owned by the province of Alberta, but it was started at the initiative of some Ukrainian community activists and then some community groups that really allowed it to flower and develop. It's the recreation of not a Ukrainian village such as a Село в Україні, but rather a Ukrainian, let's say, settlement here in Canada, and particularly in East Central Alberta. So a typical town site, let's say, where Ukrainians would have had their farmsteads and would have conducted their daily lives. The village is an ongoing project. So one of the things that they've been doing is acquiring buildings and bringing those in and doing research on the buildings so that they can be restored to pretty much exactly the way they were when they were first established in the late 1890s, early 1900s. And part of that is also many kinds of additional things that will complete, you know, the whole recreation of the era. One of the things that has been missing and that the historians have been looking for eagerly is to be able to find an authentic homestead marker, which at that time, these are basically the stakes that were pounded into the ground by surveyors so that when you claimed your homestead and you went out to find the land that you've laid claim to, you would be able to identify it by these markers. Now, because they were wooden stakes, you can well imagine they pretty much disappeared. But some of them had been recovered by the Alberta Surveyors Association. And when the village made contact with them, they actually found out that not only do they have the specifications to actually, reconstruction of one, but they actually had a few authentic homestead markers. Wow. from the era. Yeah, so that was a huge find, and this day was set aside as a day when, in marking the 100th anniversary of the Surveyors Association, they could come to the village, and all together, we could actually pound in that homestead marker that becomes a part of the permanent display at the village. Huh. So that was a perfect opportunity, you know, all things considered, mm-hmm. for us to also launch the celebration of the 120th anniversary of Ukrainians in Canada. So we're out there representing the national committee, myself and a couple of colleagues, and basically, we announced the kickoff of the year, and we also unveiled the official logo for the celebrations.
Yes, and I've seen that logo. It's gorgeous.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, that was a part of a nationwide call for submissions from artists. And I have to tell you, the window there, I think we had about a 3-week window for people to make submissions. And by obviously being sort of chairing the committee, I wasn't going to say this out loud, but I was just a little bit worried that, you know, maybe we wouldn't have a lot of submissions or maybe a lot of quality submissions. As it turns out, man, was I wrong. We had over 24 submissions from across the country, various age groups, various levels of, you know, professional down to amateur artists, in fact, a couple of high school students. Mm-hmm. And they were everything from completely finished and polished artwork to sketches and concepts. And mm-hmm. then we basically left it wide open for them to interpret what they thought would represent not just 120 years ago, as in the first pioneers, but 120 years of Ukrainians in Canada. Mm-hmm. And we finally, after receiving these and submitting them to the committee, and had selected a work by Oleg Lisiuk, who is an artist based in Toronto. His sculpting is actually his first love. He's a sculptor, but he does dabble in graphic art and other things. And he submitted an absolutely wonderful thing that really just captures, I think, the theme and the spirit of Ukrainians mm-hmm. in Canada, and says so many different things and can mean different things to different people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. It was a very good choice.
Thank you.
So what are some of the things that are coming up now?
Well, one of the mandates of the committee, we had several choices. You know, we could have gone all out and said, okay, KUK is going to put together some actual celebrations on a national scale, festivals or other showcases of Ukrainian culture, that kind of thing. But is that really our role? Because, you know, as I mentioned, the calendar date started quite a while ago, and even before 2011 rolled around, there were already events being organized in various communities across the country that were dedicated to the 120th anniversary.
Okay, but just for the benefit of listeners who may not understand what the Ukrainian acronym for KUK is, actually the Ukrainian Canadian Congress.
Right. Yeah, the Ukrainian Canadian Congress, right, which is, this can be a whole other conversation, but it's not as such the representative body of all Ukrainians in Canada, but it is an umbrella organization of several of the more active organizations across the country. So that's who my committee was formed by. So when we looked at this whole issue, it was like, do we organize festivals and celebrations, or do we let the community do what they do best? And I think we made the wise choice in going with the latter, because, as I said, there were already concerts and there were banquets and there were other celebrations that were already saying we're doing this on the occasion of the 120th anniversary of Ukrainians in Canada. So we figured that our best role would be a coordinating role. It would be to roll out this logo so there's some official visual recognition. It's also going to be to maintain a website where people can easily go and find out more information, A, historical information and factoids and things, but B, also, you know, what else is going on across the country. We're also working on developing some social media. One of the priorities of the last Congress of KUK of UCC was that we need to find some new initiatives for young people to become involved in the community. So this is a perfect thing for them. We've tasked them with rolling this thing out on social media so that, you know, that we can get people on Twitter and we can get a Facebook page and we can get people, you know, exchanging blogs and tweets and everything else about celebrations across the country. Mm-hmm. So we were just putting some of the final touches on that. And there are some conferences that we're sponsors for, and ultimately it's about the community, us just coordinating what's happening. And we're using this year as a launch pad towards what I think is a more, you know, more significant anniversary, which is 5 years from now, the 125th anniversary. Indeed. There I see the probably the organization of all kinds of special events starting from the top, you know, coming from the top down, huge kinds of national level events.
Mm-hmm. Is that website launched yet, Roman? Have you got a URL for that?
Yeah, well, actually, it's a web page on the UCC national website. So if you go to ucc.ca, right along the top banner, if you click on that, you go to that page, and it has everything from the artist description and artist bio of the logo to links to video footage of the unveiling event that I mentioned that happened at the Ukrainian village, to write-ups about various other events and initiatives that are happening, and we're hosting and developing that site as we go.
Awesome. Okay. Now, you mentioned that the community is putting on various different things. I know that in August, there's going to be, again, in Alberta, Ukrainian Day, and that's in conjunction with the Ukraine-Alberta Genealogical Association. There are festivals going on. There's a train happening, I think, this weekend, right?
Well, the train actually just launched on the 22nd, I believe it was. So that's the commemorative train that's it's an initiative of the Embassy of Ukraine in Ottawa, and Ambassador Ihor Ostash, who we just, of course, all learned that unfortunately has been recalled. So this is a bit of a farewell tour for him, but nonetheless, this is intended to be a way to recreate, if you will, sort of in the 2011 context, the journey that Ukrainians made across the country when they landed originally in Halifax, and then the very first pioneers, in fact, did not land in Halifax. They landed at a Montreal port, but that's irrelevant because we're celebrating the whole thing, 120 years.
Right.
And so that commemorative train is making stops in several major cities, and they're ending their journey in Edmonton on the 8th and 9th of July, and there'll be some special celebrations. They have some artists with them, and they'll be out at their official closing will be at the Ukrainian Cultural Heritage Village on Saturday, July the 9th.
Okay.
And, kind of appropriate, I think.
And you'll be emceeing.
Yes, you're right. I am emceeing that. As far as the festival that you mentioned, you know, we have a slate of well-known and well-recognized Ukrainian festivals in this country. Many of them, of course, are taking the theme of the 120th anniversary. We will be out there with the displays of actually some of these submissions, the other submissions that were not chosen for the logo, just to show the wide range of artistic vision in interpreting this anniversary. So we're looking forward to that.
And that will be where?
The Pesenka Festival in Beggarville, which is a week from now. Canada's National Ukrainian Festival in Dauphin, Manitoba in September, the Toronto Ukrainian Festival or the Blue West Festival, depending on where you come from. And we will certainly get at other, smaller celebrations across the country as we become aware of them. And you mentioned the Alberta celebration in August. Every year, the provincial executive of Ukrainian Canadian Congress in Alberta holds a Ukrainian Day back out at the Ukrainian village. So this year, that's an entire celebration of the 120th anniversary that is totally dedicated to that. And that's always the second Sunday in August, I believe. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Lots going on.
Yeah. We're actually having something in BC as well at the Fusion Fest in Surrey on the weekend of July 16th, 17th. There will be a Ukrainian pavilion. There will be a display there and all kinds of mementos as well.
And there are some festivals that already happened. You know, the Calgary Ukrainian Festival, the Vesna Festival in Saskatoon. So, as I mentioned, because our celebrations go into the spring of next year, we'll probably have our official presence there with the 120th anniversary display and other materials next year in 2012 editions of those festivals.
Okay, well, lots to look forward to. It sounds like a great year coming up.
Oh, absolutely. And just the final word is, you know, the role that I want this committee to play is really to coordinate what the community wants to initiate. So, you know, your listeners that happen to be in Canada and in various parts of the country that have some ideas about things that we could be doing to make that happen, or just ideas about ways that we can get the word out or other ways that we can represent this anniversary on a grander scale, please don't hesitate to let us know. Just go to that ucc.ca website and, you know, hit the contact icon and send us a note, because the more people that weigh in on this, I think the better our reach will be and the greater the celebration.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on and telling us what's been done and what could be in store.
My pleasure.
PCJ Radio would like to make you a winner. PCJ Radio is giving away three Texan 920 World Band receivers to three lucky winners in June, July, and August. In September, we are having a grand giveaway of a brand new SanGen ATS 909X worth $399 to one lucky winner. To enter, let us know how you heard this program with the date and time, and answer the following very simple question. What does radio mean to you? You can send your entries to ats909x@gmail.com. Again, that's ats909x@gmail.com. If you wish to enter by snail mail and receive a small thank you gift for entering, you can find our postal address at www.pcjmedia.com. Winners will be announced on a monthly basis on Media Network Plus. So, good luck!
You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Моє біле леченько.
And another Edmonton group that is called Migrena, and from a CD called Beauty Is Not Contagious. That was a seasonal song, very timely to our theme as well. It's all about an enchanting evening, and it's a love song, and it is called Oi Tini Chinko, again by Migrena from Edmonton. Coming up next, another Edmonton group, starts with an M as well, Millennia, from their CD Jitya, which means life. And we'll be picking up the pace with Zakuvala. Best in Ukrainian cultural programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. That's AM 1320 on the radio dial in Vancouver and streaming online at am1320.com. The internationally syndicated edition airs on the PCJ radio network on shortwave, AM and FM in over 28 countries and every weekend on PCJ Internet Radio at pcjmedia.com and in flight on China Airlines International. The podcast for the Vancouver edition can be found at the Nash Holos website, which is nashholos.com, and the International PCJ Radio Edition is stored at pcjmedia.com, and both editions are available on iTunes. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас цими словами мудрості. Не ділись зі своїми думками, як вони ще в практиці не бували. And our proverb of the week translates as, don't express your ideas if you haven't tried them out yourself. Well, our time is about up, so to take us to the end of our program, another Edmonton group, it's a duo actually, brother-sister duo, Jonathan and Diana Locker, and they'll be wrapping things up with the Vegreville Polka, just in case, just as a reminder, to take in the Vegreville Pissinka Festival on the July 1st long weekend. I'm Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie on behalf of all of us here at Nosh Holos and PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, dopa bachinya.